The stage is being set.
Europe is ready.
Liverpool is ready.
Ukraine's party in the UK is about to start.
And Millpois is going to be there.
Millpois is shameful.
Millpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Millpois is no fun.
Yes, welcome to Millpois, the Eurovision fan podcast. My name's Martin, that is Laura. We are two...
Hiya.
Hello. We are two UK Eurovision fans, and we like to bring you our thoughts on the Eurovision Song Contest. We're trying to learn as much as we can about it as we go along. This is a special episode because we're going to be bringing you our ones to watch. Not the things we necessarily think are going to win, not the entries we think are going to win, but the ones that we think... you need to know about for whatever reason. So we're going to get onto that in just a little bit. But first, we have some very exciting news of what you can expect from this podcast over the next few weeks.
Yeah, and we've got lots of plans. Don't you worry. This is the time to go Eurovision mad, and we shall be doing so. So quite excitedly, we have got accreditation for the podcast, which means that, well, one of us will be able to go backstage during some of the rehearsals and into the press room, at least during the live shows. Of course, we've got tickets for the semi-final one, so we'll be there in the audience for that. So I think we're going to be able to give people a wide variety of coverage, really, from different locations. We're going to be part of the show for semi-final one. Semi-final two, we're going to be at the Eurovision Village. And then for the final, I'm going to be in the press centre. I'll be trying to bring people a bit of atmosphere, a bit of interest about what's going on there. Martin will be back having his Eurovision party. So we're going to be meeting with guests. We're going to be speaking to fans. There's going to be lots to give you during the week, isn't there, Martin?
There really is. We are so excited for it. We can't wait to be in Liverpool and bringing you everything, all of the atmosphere from the UK Eurovision host city. Exciting stuff. So all of that to come in future editions of this podcast. And still to come on this podcast, as I mentioned, are ones to watch. But before that, time to take a look at some of the news. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the bookies' favourites. Round about this time, everybody looks to all the big bookmakers to get a bit of an idea of which songs are capturing the public's imagination. And as usual, take this with a massive pinch of salt.
Yep.
No one knows what they're talking about. And the big standout, one that's right at the top of all the bookies at the moment, is Sweden. Loreen is back representing Sweden after quite the break. She's still got no shoes. The song is called Tattoo, and it is massive at the moment. Do you want to run down some of the other ones, Chris?
We can very quickly. I mean, some of these are going to be in our ones to watch, so we won't go into too much depth. I think, again, not a huge surprise if you've been listening to Eurovision News and this podcast. Karia and Cha 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 for Finland in at second. Third is Ukraine. I think some people may have expected to see Ukraine second, possibly. France in fourth, very strong placing for France, odds wise. Spain is in fifth with Blanca Paloma. Norway, Alessandra, Queen of Kings. Seventh is Austria. Eighth is Israel. Pretty high up for Israel, I thought. Italy is also fairly high at nine. And the UK takes the 10th spot. May Muller, I Wrote a Song. Now, can we all remind ourselves what we said when we had our chat about where we thought the UK was going to place? I said 11th, didn't I? Where did you say, Martin?
Did I say 5th?
I think you said 5th, yeah. And I think Vaughan went 7th, possibly. But I, you know, it's nice to see the UK in a... Imagine if this was the case last year. We'd be so pleased.
Absolutely. Like 10th is
take it with a pinch of salt. This is the bookies. It really means nothing.
Interval Acts next, which is obviously a big part of the Eurovision Song Contest. What mad nonsense is going to happen in the middle between when all the artists have performed and they're doing all the adding up of the votes?
And everyone's voting.
We do have a bit of an idea now.
We do. And I would say sort of what we expected from a lot of it. Kalash Orchestra will be kicking off the grand final with a performance. So this isn't just Interval Acts. These are all kind of the acts that are going before the main part and in the interval as well. So Kalash Orchestra kicking off the grand final with Stephanie, and I think we all thought that would be happening. It's worth saying during the flag parade of all the finalists, this is the bit where, you know, all the countries go up and they're all the flags and everything, a bit like with the Olympics. Then there's going to be some Ukrainian participants also taking part. So Goa, Jamala, Tina Carroll and Verka, they're all going to be taking part.
Come on, yes, Verka's in there.
Yeah, we love a bit of Verka with some British classics apparently, so that's interesting. I think no surprise for the first interval performance, Sam Ryder making a bit of a return to the Eurovision stage. It'd be great to see, you know, he's had such a year, hasn't he?
What a year, yeah.
So great to see him. Now, the final interval act, it's called the Liverpool Songbook, and it's sort of celebrating what Liverpool has given to the world of pop music, and it's bringing together some big Eurovision acts, and they're going to be singing beloved songs in Liverpool's history and pop classics. You can bet that the Beatles will feature.
I was going to say, going to be a lot of Beatles.
It's also going to be the Beatles, but I'll just tell you that. So the acts that are going to be singing: Italy's Mahmood, Israel's Netta, Iceland's Darði Freyja, which I think is great, Cornelia Jacobs for Sweden, and Duncan Lawrence for the Netherlands, plus Liverpool's Sonja, who of course finished second in 1993.
Yeah, Sonja, bit of a legend.
Yeah, so there you go. A little something for everyone, I think, in all those performances.
Now on to some more, let's say more serious news about Ireland's, well, I was going to say creative director, former creative director, I think it's fair to say, and there has been a little bit of a furore.
And this was spotted on a number of accounts, a number of Twitter accounts. I'm not actually going to go into what was said, but Ireland's creative director, Ian Bantham, made some pretty transphobic comments on Twitter. And these were picked up, I think, by a couple of accounts online. And Wild Youth, who are Ireland's act this year, decided after seeing those comments to cut all ties with Ian Bantham. They've tweeted saying, "Wild Youth is a band that stands for unity and kindness. Our song represents our beliefs as a band. We've cut all ties with Ian Bantham and will not have him on or near our team or Eurovision journey. We're so sorry for anyone offended by his comments."
To some more upbeat news now, and this is the pre-Eurovision concert.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
It does in a way, yeah.
It links into what we've been saying throughout this whole thing in the build-up to Liverpool hosting, which is what the city is throwing at this event. How the whole community is coming behind being this host city and being there for Ukraine, being there for Europe, being there for the Eurovision Song Contest. And there's a big event that's happening before Eurovision itself, which is called the Big Eurovision Welcome.
That's such a British title, isn't it? You can hear the cogs whirring with them coming up with that in a meeting room somewhere. Let's just call it the Big Eurovision Welcome. Everyone going, oh yes, yes, that's a great idea.
Yeah, maybe.
But yes, that is what they've come up with, the Big Eurovision Welcome. My goodness me, you wouldn't hear that in any other place but the UK, would you? It is what it is. It's a Big Eurovision Welcome. It's a outdoor concert, 90 minutes. It's going to be about 30,000 people and lots of big acts, not just from Eurovision, though.
Big acts. The huge name of Atomic Kitten. Mm. The massive, the real thing. Famous for
all right.
You to me are everything, the sweetest song that I would think. Oh baby. Huh? Oh, you sing.
Oh, baby. Oh,
thank you. Also, Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Massive. They are reuniting.
Yeah, I was just sorry. That's the biggest.
I know.
Why did you get...
I was
oh, yeah. Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Yeah. No, I mean, that is massive, actually, because I think it's the first time that they've got together in, like, over three decades. It is going to be huge that Frankie Goes to Hollywood will reunite, especially for the Eurovision Song Contest. Some other big names as well, away from musical talent. So, Shirley Ballas of Strictly Fame. Ricky Tomlinson, who's a massive Liverpool acting icon, is going to be making an appearance. And also, Drag Race UK winner The Vivian is turning up as well. So everyone's getting involved here.
Everyone's going to be there. Yeah, it should be good fun. Now, I believe the tickets might have already sold out for this, but do check out bigeurovisionwelcome.co.uk just to see, because they're free. So you might as well check it out and see if you can get a ticket to turn up.
All right, then, time for our ones to watch. Now, we've got a few selections of entries for you. Now, these are not our thoughts on who is going to win. These are the ones that you want to tell people about. When this is the ultimate guide, right, for talking Eurovision down the pub. Oh, so-and-so knows a bit about Eurovision. Who should I be watching? And you can go, well, this one's ridiculous. This one's absolutely brilliant. This one's silly because of this. This one's really heartfelt. You know, you can give them the full rundown, but you only need to listen to this podcast to know what to say. So that's what we're going to try and bring you now. Starting, Cress has very cleverly divided them up into kind of categories with titles, which was very organized of you. So,
tell you what.
Yeah, well, this isn't thrown together. Here's the first category of the probable winner. So you know what we're going to talk about here, really. Bookie's favorite. Everyone's talking about this. Sweden, it's Loreen returning. This is Tattoo. No!
Yeah, and what could be said about this, really, then it probably will win or be very close to winning. I think it will definitely be the jury favourite. Of course, Loreen, if you know anything about Eurovision, you probably know she won already with Euphoria in 2012 at Baku. That was just my impression of Loreen singing at the end of when she sang Euphoria. People will get that. She also did try to enter Eurovision again in 2017, but she failed to get past the qualification stages in Melody Festival. And so this is her second return, and I would say a much more successful one at that. One thing to note is the performance itself, it does feel a bit Euphoria adjacent.
Definitely, yeah. There is real echoes of that Eurovision winning performance. Just make no mistake here, Loreen is in this to win it. We were talking about her with some sort of people who kind of know what's going on when it comes to Sweden and Melody Festival, and people are saying Loreen don't really want to do turning up and being in a competition to see if she can represent Sweden. She wants to win Eurovision and she wants to do it again, and she would not be entering if she didn't think she could do it with this song. So she means business with this.
She does, and you can tell she's turned it out so far from what we've seen at Melody Festival. And one thing to note about this performance is she's got these huge 4x4 meter LED screens. One's on top of her, hanging from the ceiling. The other one is underneath her. It is, I suppose it's slightly dangerous. There was some chat about would she be able to get these screens, especially the one coming from the ceiling at the M&S Bank Arena, which is where Eurovision is taking place. There was a little bit of chat about what's going to be happening with the staging. It sounds like she has now fixed all of that problems, but you know, that's a little...
Probably not herself. I think she got other people
to do it. Well, you know, she's very resourceful, our Loreen, so who knows? But there are these two big screens, as I said. It sort of makes a Loreen sound. She's in between. Let's hope she doesn't get squashed because there's one that's 1,800 kilograms.
Oh my
goodness.
That's
the one that's coming from the ceiling. So a pretty heavy bit of weight, and she's sort of moving it up and then it goes higher and up in her performance. It adds a bit of theatre. It adds a bit of drama to it all. That one, I think we can put down as a probable winner.
Yeah. If that's the probable winner, this is the contender. Contender! Ready! And this is Finland. This is a little bit bonkers, but brilliant. enjoy this. Kaaria and Cha-Cha-Cha.
There you go. Yes, as mad as Martin said, Kaaria with Cha-Cha-Cha for Finland. Now, interestingly, with the OGAE members, that's the official fan group people, and they all get together and vote themselves, each member of each country. They vote on who they think will win, and Finland currently topping that poll, what they call the OGAE poll. Finland at top. Sweden is second, though, not too far behind. France third, by the way. Norway fourth. Fifth is Austria. Italy is sixth. United Kingdom seventh. Czechia is eighth. Israel ninth. And tenth is Spain. At the bottom, by the way, is Ukraine.
Oh.
In the OGAE poll. It's tied last with a lot of countries. It's not just Ukraine. There's about eight others which are all have 0 points. It's worth saying again, this means nothing. This is just what fans who happen to be, this is what we say a lot in this episode, but it's just what fans who happen to be in the OGAE have voted. It isn't the final vote. There's still a few members that need to vote, but interesting to see Finland at the top there with the fans.
I think I remember describing the guy here from Finland as some like zany comedy character that I'd once seen. It's a very, what's the word, unique performance?
Yes. So he is wearing this green outfit that's sort of like a Matador's outfit. In the videos, he's been in a wrestling ring and he's getting thrown about by himself. The idea, I think, behind it all is he's had a very difficult and long day. He decides to hit the bar with the intention in the lyrics to mess my head up and to free my mind of fear. He has a couple of pina coladas, that's mentioned in the song, and I think that's become the sort of unofficial drink of Eurovision this year, pina coladas. A lot of people are, apparently Finnish media are actually giving out instructions on how to make pina coladas because it's gotten so popular in Finland.
It's very nice, because let me this tell song. You that.
Maybe we should try some in Liverpool, Martin.
Not against
anyway,
it.
Anyway, I think the main things to keep your eye out for on this one is the ludicrous outfit, the interesting styling of metal and pop and dance, a very weird mix of melodies, and those pina coladas. Will there be pina coladas on the stage? Let's find out.
If those two are the, I suppose, ones that are front runners to maybe do very well in the competition, this isn't necessarily that. This is one where you go, have you seen that weird one?
Yeah.
This is the unusual one, Croatia. And it's called Let 3 Mama SC, are we saying?
No, it's Let 3 Mama Stut. Mama ljubila morona. Mama ljubila morona. Mama ljubila morona.
Krajnanina Armagedonona. All right, well, Let 3 Mama Stut is odd.
It is. And I think you'll get an idea of why this is so odd, as well as from hearing it. If I give you a bit of a background on the band. Now, Let 3 are known for some quite obscene live performances. Amongst other things, they've masturbated in a music video. They were fined by police for performing naked at an outdoor concert. Their appearance was cut short on a talk show in 2008. They swore a lot and pretended to pop corks out of their rectums. So, goodness knows what they will do in their semi-final, which we will be watching. I'll be very excited to see what they do. So this song, it alludes to war, Russian aggression against Ukraine. There's quite a chaotic energy, as we've heard there. There's a lyric about mommy bought the tractor, and people think that's a reference to Lukashenko, Belarus's president, giving Vladimir Putin a tractor for his 70th birthday. So it is all quite nuts, isn't it, Martin? I think that's a simple way of putting it, but there's a lot going on underneath.
If you get a moment and you want to listen to that song again in full, do it whilst imagining that scene in Monty Python. You know, in the film, there's like a parade of monks and they're going to a little village and they're like singing this chant. And then halfway through the chant, they all in unison whack themselves in the face. It reminds me of that.
Right. Well, that's an interesting description for it. And maybe you'll feel like that's what you'll have done once you've watched the performance. It's worth saying they're all dressed up in sort of gaudy generals' outfits and they've got these big thick mustaches as well. So they're alluding to all these dictators. And there's also a man that comes in halfway through with a big nuclear warhead and he's half naked. And it's just what we want to see at Eurovision. We want to see something a little bit out there.
You are listening to Null Poir, and these are our ones to watch. This is certainly my favourite Mad one. I can't stop thinking about it. It's so, so bonkers. This comes under Kress's category of the one satirising the music industry, and perhaps Kress can explain why. But first, this is, have a listen to this. It's Austria's entry, Teja and Selena. It's called Who the Hell is Edgar?
Well, who is Edgar? As you've heard there, it's Edgar Allan Poe. Of course. The song, as you might have heard a little bit of there, it claims that the ghost of Edgar Allan Poe, the gothic author, has entered their bodies and can't resist making this lyrical masterpiece through them. I said it's sort of satirical. It's all about the music industry. There's this chant that you hear in the song 0.003, which is the 0.003 cents that songwriters commonly get paid per stream of their song. So there's this idea, there's another lyric, I guess it pays to be funny. And it's about how songwriters sort of struggle to create reliable income. And I think it's all very cleverly packaged up in a very catchy song.
A really catchy song, and one that I'm a little bit obsessed with, I have to say. Really enjoy that. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. It's sort of on the right side of bonkers.
Yes.
It's like, it's not so bonkers that you can't be kind of singing it in the street, but
yes,
it's enough bonkers to go, this is really weird, but in a cool way. I'm a big fan of that one, I have to say. Okay, so that's kind of like, there's four to watch. Both Kress and I have got ones that we kind of wanted to give special mentions to. Mine was, I think, a fairly obvious one. I wanted to talk about the UK's entry because we are a UK-based podcast.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth talking about the UK entry this year. Mae Muller's I Wrote a Song. Instead, I wrote a song.
She did along with a few other people, and it's not half bad. I think we weren't sure where to place this when we first listened to this, were we, Martin?
It's been growing on me quite a lot, actually. Chosen the same way as they chose Sam Ryder, so Tap Management, who are the people behind Ellie Goulding and Liam Pinnock off of Little Mix, and Lana Del Rey and Christine of the Queens and loads of big people. They just said, right, Mae Muller's going to do it. I think she's doing a really, really good job of selling it. She's clearly behind it herself. Talking about it with other Brits, it feels like there is a little bit of momentum behind it. People seem to be quite supportive of her, supportive of the song and our chances. And I think that just comes off the back of Sam Ryder doing really, really well.
Yeah.
The bookies, by the way, give it a 1% chance of winning. But, you know, maybe. It's all about how you feel. I think if it does come 10th, which is what the bookies are sort of saying that it will do, I'd be very happy with that. I feel like the UK...
I'd be ecstatic with that.
I feel like the UK public would be, oh, we thought we were going to win. But, you know what?
You're right. They'd be like, oh, 10th, that's rubbish. They're never happy, no. Martin.
They
weren't happy when the UK came second either, were they?
No, but anyway.
Those idiots.
There we go. A little sort of special mention there to Mae Muller, and all the best to Mae. I know you've got other ones to mention. I can't get Denmark out of my head. I'm not going to play a clip, but I just go and listen to Denmark. I'm kind of obsessed with it. Really, really like it.
Sort of Mika-esque, I would say. Mika adjacent.
A little bit. Also, I just want to say Portugal and Mimicat. Just a little bit bonkers is this song. I Coração from Mimicat. Kind of reminds me of... thank you. Kind of reminds me of like a flamenco dancer, which is something a bit different. I quite like it.
And I'll finally just give one of my favourite countries in general in the competition. They always seem to pull a bit of a wild card and do something a bit different. Remember that train song from last year that they did? It's Moldova. They've gone all sort of pagan and tribal, and there's people with antlers on stage, and there's a flute riff, which I really like. And it's Pasha Parfeni is the performer, and Sorelle si Luna, which means the sun and the moon. And this is all kind of sort of forest ravey. I can imagine this dropping in the early hours of the morning at a forest rave and everyone in these kind of weird pagan outfits, hippie outfits, dancing it out.
Chris has got a very vivid imagination. Anyway, there we go. There are some of our ones to watch for Eurovision 2023.
Yes, thank you so much, by the way, for everyone who's been getting in contact with your ones to watch. And we'll get to that in just a moment's time. It's worth mentioning our Patreons once more. Tell us the details.
Yeah, if you head to the old Patreon and just type in nullpois, so patreon.com/nullpois. We don't ask for a lot of money. We just, you know, it's really just a kind of token gesture just to try and keep us going and allowing us to do some of the stuff that we really, really want to be able to do for you on this podcast. We just ask for a quid a month. What you get in return is you get this podcast at least 24 hours in advance, and you get to be part of a community that allows you to chat all about Eurovision stuff. And that is what, for example, Richard has been doing. This is referencing our previous podcast where we were talking about the host city for Junior Eurovision, which is nice. Nice. So the question still stands, Richard. Says Richard, is it nice in Nice? If you were to eat a Nice biscuit, no, a Nice biscuit in Nice, would it be a Nice Nice biscuit in Nice or a Nice biscuit in Nice Nice? And if you went with your sibling's daughter, would it be a Nice in Nice with your Nice Nice? Oh my God. The world needs to know. The world does not need to know, Richard.
The world doesn't need to know that, Richard. But thank you for utterly confusing Martin there. Do take part in our Patreon conversation if you're on there. We'd like to hear, of course, your ones to watch. Thank you to Alexander, who messaged us on Instagram. We are on Instagram, Nullpois Podcast, who wanted to pass along their compliments for our latest episodes and was talking about Nice and JESE, Junior Eurovision. The reason we're talking about Nice is because that's going to be where Junior Eurovision is being held. Alexander says, it's quite a warm city. It's plenty of sights to see. Nice is also close to Monaco, less an hour by train. So if you're planning on visiting it, you could pop over to Monaco as well. Visit the tourist centre and you'll get your passport stamped for free. So nice little tip there. See what I did for Alexander. Alexander also talks a little bit about a ones to watch or perhaps one that Alexander is disappointed in. He says, I'm disappointed in that I don't think San Marino will do very well. It's my favourite country to watch as they typically give the gimmick performances that I love. Yes, that's true. Actually, recently they did Mechanical Bull, they did Flow Rider, they did Sirhat. Sirhat, I guess, isn't a gimmick. Sirhat is just being Sirhat. But yes, I get what you mean, Alexander. This year, their song feels lacklustre, as if they put little creative thought into what it wants to be. I think a lot of people were expecting Flow Rider and Zenit to do better than they did last year, but they were sort of in the low 20s.
Very surprising, actually. I think you're right. I do wonder that people didn't vote for them because they thought they were like trying too hard to impress.
Possibly. And yes, you're right. There was also the Mechanical Bull performance, which again, I feel was maybe just a bit too much. People like a gimmick, but maybe when it's within the song itself and not just, oh, look, we've bought this mechanical bull and that's going to save us. The song also has to be good. And I think maybe, I mean, I loved Adrenalina, don't get me wrong. I thought that was fantastic. So for me, that was a big tick. But I also agree with Alexander on San Marino this year. That I wouldn't put them in one of my ones to watch.
Final mention then on the podcast today to ESC Hayden on Twitter, who has, I don't know whether how to take this little remark here. Nullpois always start their podcast in such a crazy fashion. Martin making some stupid noises or something. This week, he's impersonating a clock. Well, look, you're right, but not this time, I'll say.
See, he did it very professionally this time, but it is true. I love the fact, I think Martin What was it? Martin making some stupid noises or something. Should just be the name of the show because it does happen quite a lot, Hayden. So thank you for that comment. And if you do want to get in contact with us on Twitter, we are at Poir Null.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Null Poir. We really hope you enjoyed it. And if you do want to get involved in the conversation, we're always wanting to hear from you. Loads of ways to get in touch via email or whatever. Just get in touch with us.
nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com.
Or Instagram or Twitter or whatever you fancy. We are really excited about bringing you the next few weeks of content because it's getting so close now. We're going to be in Liverpool very soon. We're going to be going backstage. We're going to be going to the fan areas. We're going to be speaking to people who make Eurovision happen and people who are just there to enjoy it. We cannot wait and we cannot wait to bring you along with us. Thank you for continuing to listen to Null Poir. More episodes coming your way soon, and we'll see you again very soon indeed for the next edition of Null Poir. Why don't you say Null Poir at the end?
Sorry, I thought we were going to mention that I'm coming up on an episode of ESC Insights Jukebox Jury.
Sorry, I got really into the ending. Yeah. I thought I was doing really well and I forgot. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm going to be on ESC Insight, which is another excellent podcast. So check that out. That'll be out soon.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye. Au revoir.